Genesis 22 and 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Man, that's shouting ground right there. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. You can be seated. Verse 5 says, and Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. How many people in here, this is so good being a country church, how many people in here use the word yonder? Some of y'all. How many people use the word yonder, have ever used the word yonder? Okay. You know what it means? All right, go over yonder. Good. I want you to go over yonder. Stand up, Darren, and go over yonder. He might not use the word, but he knows what it means. Now go over yonder. Here's the problem with the word yonder, is it's not specific at all. You can go ahead and sit down. Thank you. It's not specific, but it's a direction. And God said, I want you to go into the land, Moriah, and there's a mountain I'm going to tell you of. I'm going to tell you. I wish, Dustin, that God was more specific. How many people are with me? Sometimes God will speak to you, and it's not very specific. It's like, go over yonder. And you're like, all right, you know the direction that you're supposed to go, but you don't know exactly where yonder is. I actually typed in directions from Beckley to yonder to see what it did. And there's a place in Summersville called Yonder. So it gave me directions to that. But it's a direction, but it's not GPS directions. It's more country directions. And as I was studying this, Johnny, it was very interesting because it said, when you are giving directions with the word yonder, there's not street names, but there's usually landmarks. And I said, man, that'll preach. Not definite street signs and tells you to turn here and then turn there. But when you're given yonder directions, it's about landmarks. People say, well, what you do is you go up yonder until you see that old sign or you see that old gas station or you see that tree. And there's landmarks there. And I think the Bible is very specific when it tells us to remove not the old landmarks because they need to be there. I understand that When we deal with tradition, I understand that the progressive church is so caught up on being against tradition, but Paul talked about them keeping some traditions that were given to them. And there are some things that I have been taught, Sister Vicky, that have helped me along the way. They weren't very specific, but I understood because some people had been through some things. And let me do it like this. When you're in a trial, you go to an elder and you say, what do I need to do? And they say, you need to fast and pray. That's a landmark. It's not, they don't tell you how long to fast. They don't tell you how to pray. They just tell you this is the way you need to get there. It's a yonder direction, but you got to be moving in the right direction. God's not always going to say, well, Damon, here's what I want you to do. I want you to preach when you're 17. I want you to start out preaching in the old age home, and I want you to go over there, and I want everybody to make fun of you, and then I want you to go preach on the side of the road in Rodale, and then somebody's going to call you for revival, and then you're going to go preach that revival, and you're going to stay busy for years traveling all over the state. He didn't tell me any of that. He didn't tell me any of that at all. I wish he would have. I wish he would have been more specific, because there's some things that went on in my life, and I know it's went on in your life, and it's while you were traveling in the direction that he told you to travel in, there were some things that went on as you are traveling that God never told you was coming your way. But the key is, when God reveals to you to move in a direction, you move in that direction. I don't need to know the exact address. I don't need to know, because those that know him, they put their trust in him. So if God said, go yonder, then I need to be moving in that direction. I don't need to know every detail. I just need to trust the one that told me to go in that direction. And if I move that way, I will understand this. When I get to that place, there will be something revealed to me that God has ordained me to know. Can you say amen? They get up and they get ready and they take two young men with them. And most scholars agree that these young men were servants of his. And as I'm reading this, this really stuck out. He has servants and he has a donkey. And there's a beast of burden. And for part of the trip, the servants are helping him get to yonder. But there came a point when he said, you have to stay here because we are going yonder to worship. See, these servants were serving him. Let me say it like this. There's going to come a point when God is going to ask you to lay down some things that are serving you so that you can serve him. See, we're all about service, and we're all about help, and we're all about what can I get out of it? There comes a point in your sanctification journey where there are some things that God allowed you to have at the beginning that you are going to have to separate yourself from to get to where God has ordained you to be. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's a mindset. But there are some things that have served you for quite some time, but you're going to have to ask those things to remain, because you have an appointment with God, and God has ordained you to be in this certain place, and he's pushing you in that direction. So those self-serving things that he's allowed you to have, walking in the permissive will of God, not the perfect will, but there comes a point, Darren, in my sanctification that there are some things I got to lay down so that I can get to where God has ordained me to be, so that I can see what God has ordained me to see. There are some separation that needs to take place. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There is a separation. There are some things that, man, I feel preachy. There's some things that God's not going to allow you to carry on his mountain. He said, who is going to be on that holy mountain? He that has a clean heart, that has clean hands, let it go. Man, I'm telling you, my couch serves me. Anybody? I appreciate my couch. Some people appreciate it so much that that's where they are right now instead of here. Preach on them, preacher. I will. They ain't here. There are times, and I'm not against rest, but there is a time that it's not getting you where you are ordained to be. It's serving a need that you have, but you have to leave that and move out. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about how far do you want to go? I'm talking about this, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. I'm talking about moving in to that area that God has ordained you. Here's the problem with yonder. When I said go over yonder and you went over yonder, why did you stop where you stopped? No real reason, right? You just stopped. Because yonder is not specific. It's a direction. And here's what God does. Oh, man. He calls you to move out from where you are. Here's the problem with yonder. It's not where you are now. Boy, that's deep, ain't it? Yonder, we need to know how to get from here to yonder. We got to get from here. So yonder is away from where you are. Abraham looked up and he saw the place afar off. Now it would have been very smart of Abraham to keep them servants with him because it was afar off. The issue with yonder is yonder's there. But now, go over yonder. Would you, Dave, go over yonder? All right, stop. Brandon, go over yonder. Stop. Dustin, would you? Now you're trapped. Tracy, go over yonder. All right, watch. Stop. Everybody's going in the same direction. But notice it's not the same path. Notice his path is different than his path, is different than her path. But they're going the same direction. Man, this is good if you hold on. Now, here's the problem. Should I say it? I can say it, right? It's Wednesday night. Here's the problem when I want to be the pastor that is going to present you to Jesus, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over yonder, but I want you to do it like he does. Go over yonder. Get in line with him. You hear me? You feeling me? Now, Tracy, come on up here. Now, you get in line. You got to get in line, because when we get in line, we're going to go over yonder, and we're all going to go over yonder at the same time, and we're all going to go over yonder together, and we're all going to get where God is. This is not how it works. I ain't allowed to line you up to get you over yonder. Why? Because God has called you from where you are to where he wants you to be. It's not about, preacher. It's not about me getting you in line to walk over yonder. It's about the Holy Spirit getting a hold of you where you are and taking you to where God has ordained you to be. And if God can't get you over yonder, I sure can't get you over yonder.
Amen.
Thank you. It's about moving in the right direction. Darren, I used you for an illustration for years while you were gone. For years. I said, I can't write your life standards. I said, because I couldn't write Darren's. Darren's my buddy. We're pals. We bow hunted together. We hung out together. This was my friend. And if I was going to write his standard, I would never write his standard. I would never say, Darren, now listen, here's what you need to do. You need to sell everything you own, and you need to go to Africa. I wouldn't tell him that. That's my friend. Now, if I didn't like you, that'd probably be a standard that I could write for you. You need to go far, far away. But God told you to go over yonder. Literally over yonder. Because, when God says it, Sam, why are you preaching this? Because I was praying about you today, man. I was praying about this guy right here. I want to tell you why. Because he's got to learn this. When I get God's spirit inside of me and it tells me to go yonder, there is nobody in this church that can stop me from going yonder. And there are some things in your life that you're going to have to separate yourself from to get to where God has ordained you to be. They may have served you. They may have served you well. But there comes a point in sanctification that you say, this thing isn't serving my purpose anymore. And you need to stay here because I'm going to the presence of God. Thank you. Because when the role is caught up yonder. Anybody remember that song? When the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Well, you don't know exactly where yonder is, do you? Do you know exactly what area of heaven you are going to occupy? Well, I'll tell you, brother. They're going to build my mansion right next door to Jesus. They can't build all of ours next door to Jesus. You don't know exactly, but you know this. You know that there is a yonder. You know there is a place that he has called you to. You know there is a direction that you should be pushing toward. And no matter where you come from, no matter what side of the track, the key is to hear the voice of God. Let him reveal to you how to get there. Leave the things behind that need to be left behind and press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, let us press forward. It's time for the church to wake up and understand that God has ordained us to walk into a certain realm. Amen. Landmarks. How many, before GPS, how many people ever had somebody that really was really good at directions? And you ask for directions and they say, oh yeah, you just go east on... Anybody ever told you that? Like, yeah, just go head north. And you're like, I don't even know where I'm at right now. Which way's north? Just go south for about 3 miles. South, okay. Just tell me which way to go. Go out on the road here and turn right. And, man, I tell you what really is good when you're familiar with landmarks. And when you get those landmarks that are familiar, then it's a lot easier to give you directions. So can I give you some landmarks? Because I want you to get up yonder. I want you to get up yonder. But I'm going to tell you, there's some places that we need to turn and pray. We need to turn at prayer. We need to turn during prayer. I'll tell you what's important about prayer. It will turn you. So it's an important thing that you need to have in your life as you're heading there. It's an important thing. Your Bible study is more important than you realize. Because when you plant his word in your heart, thy word, oh God, hath I hid in my heart. Why? So I could win at Bible trivia? So I can end at whatever it is, whatever competition? No, he said, thy word hath I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I'm not going to sin against you if I got my word in my heart. Why? Your word in my heart. Because that word is living. In that word, you have eternal life. In that word, you have power. In that word, that thing needs to be put in your life as you are pushing to where God has ordained you to be. So here they go. They're on their way up there. Isaac, pretty bright fella. Dad, I see the wood. I see the knife. This must have been a pretty good hike. Amen? Because it was a far off. As I'm telling you, this is country. This right here, it's a far off. Somebody had prophesied to my friend one time that his wife was going to come from afar. He said, what do you think that means? I said, I think your wife is going to be a fireman. Because they said she's coming from afar. Afar. Afar off. It's a distance from where we are to where God is calling us to. We don't like distances. Let me say that again. I witnessed this. Some people don't like distances.
Let me say it like this. You are not a hiker if you walk to the edge and look over an overlook that is paved. That is not hiking. But sometimes to see the most beautiful things, you've got to be willing to climb. Oh, I'm talking experience now. You got to be willing to push. You got to, I'm going to stay back here and send me a picture. There's some things God ordained you to do. And listen, I don't hate to tell you, I'm just going to tell you. It's going to take struggle. And he don't put that, all the details ain't there. I wish they were there because we would avoid places. If we knew every time we was going to have to struggle or we was going to have to cry or we was going to have to be weep, you know what we would do? We would avoid that section as we're headed in that direction. But what we don't understand is it's in those times of trial that God is getting us to in position to get where we are ordained to be. The Bible says in the Old Testament they wept before the door. And if I was going to weep, let me tell you the best place to weep is before the door. Because he's the door. And if I'm going to weep, I'm going to weep before Jesus. But if I'm not headed in the right direction and I'm not facing where he is, how can I weep before him? So there's going to be tears on your way to yonder. There's going to be tears. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be trial. The key is keep moving because God ordained you to get there. Where is the sacrifice? Because he said God will provide himself a lamb for sacrifice. Listen to this. This is important. This is really, really important. God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. If Abraham didn't get to the place that God ordained him to get to, he would have never seen the ram in the thicket that was already prepared. The problem is some people don't get to where God has ordained them to get, so they don't get the revelation about the lamb and they don't see that the sacrifice has already been provided. They're climbing. The problem is they're climbing in the wrong direction because they're not heading where God has ordained them to walk to. Are you hearing me? This is so important because we've got people that are struggling. We got people that are fighting. We got people that are weeping. But if we're not heading to that place, we will never get the right revelation of the Lamb of God. And if we don't get the right revelation of the Lamb of God, then we won't know that we don't have to kill some things in our life because he's already provided a sacrifice. Amen. Shane, some Christians are miserable. Well, brother, I'm just trying to make it. You're trying to make it. You're trying to make it. Man, I got a revelation. You know where I got a revelation? In worship. I don't know about you, but some of the best conversations that me and God have are in worship. I'll give you a story. You want to hear a story? I was standing in church one day, and I'm just worshiping the Lord. I'm just praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Had my hands raised, and a voice spoke to me and said this, out of all things to say to me, said, there is a reason that Jonathan gave David his robe. I said, man, that's interesting. I want to find out what it was. So I went home, and I began to study, and I studied, and I studied, and I studied, and I studied, and I couldn't find anything. I just kept studying. Then I read Isaiah. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I started studying the train of the temple, and I found out something about Jonathan and David and the rope. And I'm telling you, I had a benefit. I was at the kitchen table reading, and when I figured out what went on and all that, I was in the living room shouting. Why? Because God wants to communicate with us in worship. Now, I know worship isn't just standing in church raising it. Worship is a lifestyle. You just don't come in here. We don't just have worship service. We are worshipers. You know what worshipers do? They worship. Could you imagine if you were a painter and the only place you painted was church? If you are, hit that wall when you get a chance. Could you imagine if you called yourself a painter and you only painted on Sundays at 11:30 for 30 minutes? Are you going to be a very good? No, when you are a painter, or if you are a carpenter, or if you are a worshiper, you're not just a worshiper here, you're a worshiper out there. It is a way of life. So here's where we got to be realizing. Our act of worship is heading yonder. And when we arrive, when the roll is caught up yonder, when we arrive, the battle's over. What does that tell me? That tells me I'm going to be heading yonder until I get to yonder. That's deep, ain't it? So if anybody asks you what you're doing, just say, man, I'm headed yonder to worship. And as I'm heading there, it's an act of worship, because obedience is an act of worship. Why do you do what you do? Man, I'm just executing the plan of God. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. Yes. You tired? Ian, you tired? Ian said, yeah. Dustin, you tired? You good? Tired. Everybody's tough. Everybody's acting tough tonight. You tired? You feel great? Is anybody in here tired? You tired? What? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Let me tell you what happens when you're tired. When you get tired, there's a part of you that says, they won't even know if I'm not there. They won't know if I'm not there. I notice more than you think I notice. Is that right, Tracy? I notice more than you think I notice. I'm just gracious. I love you. I don't beat you up. Because I have been beat up. It's not about if I don't see you. It's about what he sees. Because I'm not the one that's getting you there. He's getting you there. He wants you there. Why? To give you a revelation. What is that revelation? Don't do it. Don't do it. There's a ram in the thicket. Don't do it. I know you got up here, and I know you were willing to sacrifice this, but I want to show you something. I've already got something prepared for you. Your family gets to live because I've already prepared something for you. And if you're not willing to get there, you will not get that revelation, and then you're going to walk in misery. Come on here. I should have went back up there, back there, and said, go up yonder. It's so general sometimes what God speaks to you. Anybody ever gave you a word from God and you said, I don't even know what that means? Anybody ever been there? You're like, I don't know. You have a dream and you feel like it's from God and you go ask somebody. You're like, man, I really don't know what this means, but I feel like it's from God. And then later on, down the road, as you keep walking with him, he reveals things to you and you go, oh, yeah, yeah. Why does it got to be that way? Because if he lays it all out, then there's no faith and there's no trust. Sometimes I'm real sweet. And I'll take Tracy somewhere, and I won't tell her where we're going.
Remember, this just happened this not too long ago. I was taking her to pick blackberries, and they were closed. I said, I was sweet. I didn't say I was smart. And you know what? I don't tell her where we're going, but she still gets in the truck. You know why she gets in the truck? Because she trusts me. If she didn't trust me, she probably wouldn't get in there, right? And she knows. Listen, I have never surprised her with a trip to the landfill. Hey, honey, it's free day. You didn't know that, did you? When I'm taking her somewhere, it's always somewhere good. You say, picking black, but that's her thing. She loves it. She trusts me, so she goes with me. Are you hearing me? She trusts me, so she travels with me. Even when she doesn't know exactly where she's going, she knows that it's going to work out for her good. When we trust him, Dave, we will go in the direction he has called us to go in. Amen? So I'm done. Let's play a song. Even when I'm tired, even when I'm weak, I keep moving in that direction. Even when I fall down, I get up and move in that direction. If God would have told me how many times I would have failed him, I would have felt unworthy. Amen? But you know what he does? He just says, get in and let's go yonder, because I got something I want to show you. What is it that God wants to show you that you've been holding back? See, we think when we sin that grace just forgives us and everything's all right. The problem with sin is it's a setback. The weight that does so easily beset you while you're running a race. You should be here, but the sin has caused you to be here. Sin is good even if I am teaching it, right? So, God, I thank you for forgiving me. The problem is you should be over there and you're here. And then you sin again, and then you sin again, and then you sin again, and you are beset when you should be moving to where we should run this race with patience. The race, we are heading in a direction. Where is God calling you to? What is serving you that you need to say, I've got to put this back so that I can get into the presence of God? See, I can give you a list of things, but it might not be your list of things. There are some things that you fight that I don't fight. Amen? Can you sleep a long time? Yeah. And when you get up, you feel refreshed. Yeah. When I sleep a long time, it hurts. We fight different battles. You know why old people get up? Because if they lay there too long, things freeze up. I called Tracy today, and I'm like, Sophie, I love you. And she said, Pop, you're old. We fight different battles. There's some things that you deal with that I don't deal with. There's some things I deal with you don't deal with. The idea is you got to get over there. I got to get over there. We got to get over there because God's called us to get over there. And whatever's in our way, we need to turn around and say, stay behind. That's how Jesus said it. Get thee behind me. Come on, let's stand if you're able. Go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead. God's called you to a direction. If you feel like you're standing still, we want to pray for you.